Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14, if you would stand with us for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm glad God still saves old sinners. Amen. Now, I need you to help me preach a little this morning. It'll be okay if you ladies say amen. Amen. Be all right. We're a church where you can say amen. Amen. We're a church where the devil gets stirred up. Thank God we're in a devil-stirring church. Well, I'm about ready to shout the back end out of my choir robe. Matthew 14, the Bible said in verse 15, when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, "Whoa, this is a desert place, Lord. Whoa, it's a dry... Ain't it bad to be in a dry place?" He said, "The time's past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said to them, "They need not depart. Turn around and tell them so. Ain't no sense in you leaving. Turn around and tell them this morning." Say, it's just getting started good. It ain't no time to leave now. Amen. Ain't no time to tuck tail and run just because we decided to have some church down in Bowden, Georgia. Bob said, Lord, goodness, I'm getting help on the preaching already. So they say to him, we ain't got much, Lord, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Boy, ain't it something how God can use throwbacks, amen. Said, you ain't got nothing to little old brim. Said, how in the world are you going to do something to feed this crowd? He said, well, I'll tell you what you do, just bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down. That always get our plate full. We'd just sit down and let Jesus do it. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and I love this, he looked up. And he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. That's the way it works. Hey, you ain't going to give nothing to nobody else till you get something for yourself. Can we say amen right there? Then he says, well, they did all eat in verse 20 and were filled. Boy, ain't it a blessing when you can leave the church full. They took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Now, verse 22, you still with me? And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Boy, isn't it something? After the bread of life comes, the trials of obedience comes, and they were sent right into trouble. I mean, just as soon as they'd received the breath of life, hey, who said this thing was smooth sailing? This ain't the lolly ship. This ain't no good lollipop ship, honey. Let me tell you, if you're going to serve Jesus and you really partook of the bread of life, you're going to face some troubles. Sure, the Bible said, well, what are we going to do? Well, he said, verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into him walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, there's trouble, saying, oh, it's a spirit, and they cried out for her. Now, they was Baptists, honey. The Holy Ghost tore their nerves up. I know a lot of Baptists, the Holy Ghost tears their nerves up. One little boy come to him this morning, he said, Lord, my nerves is tore up. The Bible said, verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, and this is what he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. And this is what he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach out of that verse that I just read on where he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, I want to preach on this simple thought this morning. Going overboard with Jesus. Going overboard with Jesus. Now you'll notice, first of all, that he went overboard in his familiarities. I mean, isn't it amazing how we get familiar in places? And my goodness, these familiarities, we get very familiar with the sanctuary. I can remember, man, when we first moved up here, we began to shout and thank God for what He's given us. But now we look around and say, well, so. I remember when I was in a storefront building, had a little air window unit out there pumping all the Freon it could pump. And I'd leave the house of God, honey, my socks is wet. I can remember we moved in place and got property. We were so thankful, but now we've got familiar in the sanctuary. Well, thank God for them that ain't got too familiar in the sanctuary, that they will go overboard out of their familiarities. Amen. We love our comfort zone, don't we? Oh, don't the devil say, listen now, don't you get too carried away about this thing of Jesus. And don't you get overboard in the things you're familiar with. We get familiar in the sanctuary, and then we forget, we get real familiar with the Savior. Well, a lot of us, we forgot about that God saved us one day. That should be our driving force. We should never forget about the day that the Lord saved me. I like it when that sister stood this morning. Thank God she said she's got a testimony. She's got a place and a time when the Lord saved her. We get familiar with the sanctuary and we get familiar with the Savior and we just take Calvary for granted. I mean, now Calvary don't mean to the church what it used to mean, but honey, it still means to God what it's always meant. He gave His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross that we could go free. And honey, our familiarities keep us from going overboard with Jesus. We're familiar with the Savior and the sanctuary. Then we get familiar with the saints. You remember when God got to adding our church and, man, He'd send in new people. And thank God He's still sending in new people. Amen. No doubt God's reaching in the community and God's reaching out in the wilderness and He's drawing families in to hear the Word of God. Listen, we ain't got to get into entertainment, honey. We're offering something to a community that the average Baptist church can't offer no more. And that's worship of the Savior and preaching of the Word of God and carrying a King James Bible. We don't need a drama team nor a praise team. We just need the power and the Spirit of God and rear back and preach the Word of God. And oh, the Lord, help us in this day and this hour. But when our familiarities, we have a tendency to stay where we are. And, oh, we stay familiar with where we see that. A lot of us sit there so long, we got back-end prints where we sit. I mean, we just sit there till it fits all of a sudden. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, just sit there you want to. Amen. Now, I've been trying to eat and get a little bigger so I outgrow my prints. Amen. That's one good thing about this suit being tight this morning. Amen. But I'm telling you, boy, we even get familiar with where we park. Amen. I mean, hallelujah. Thank God that we do have a parking place. And thank God we got a place where we can sit. But we get familiar with the saints. I can remember, man, when people would come in and, boy, you were so excited because you got here. Hey, don't let this mully grub crowd steal your shout this morning. And just because they done got used to being blessed, hey, honey, I ain't got to be used to being blessed. I thank God for a crowd that'll go overboard for Jesus. They went overboard in their familiarities. And my goodness, wouldn't it help us a lot of times to launch out in the deep, as Jesus had said, and get out of the comfort zone or get out of the boat. Boy, it's easy to stay in the comfort zone. We don't want to trouble the water or rock the water. But let me tell you, honey, before you ever do anything for God, you're going to have to go overboard in some things that you're used to being in. I can tell you the reason people ain't blessed this morning. They sit in these old dead traditional dried up places and they voting on doing right. They voting on this and voting on that. And they all tied up like two monkeys on a clothesline. They tied up like two cats on a clothesline. They tied up like two cats under a clothesline. They can't do nothing. Honey, this one can't get together and that one can't get together. It's about time that we go overboard in our familiarities and say, God, to be you the glory. I'm tired of sitting where I am. I'm tired of having what I've always got. And dear God, I know it's something better out yonder if I'll get off my backside and go overboard for the glory of God. I love people that'll go overboard. I love Simon Peter, buddy. He'd go overboard in a New York minute. You couldn't tell him to stay behind a pulpit. You couldn't tell him not to raise his voice. I love people that'll go overboard for the glory of God. Some of you all try overboard in your giving, see how God would bless you real good. Amen. Well, everybody pay a tithe, but what about your offering? Hallelujah. Where's your offerings been at? Oh, I won't get on that. I want to leave that bad spirit and get in the right spirit. But oh my goodness, it's smart. Isn't it amazing that it's hard to get overboard in our familiarities? I mean, we get so used to our comfort zone. Now, you remember one night the disciples had been fishing. And the Bible said that they had left a couple of ships there on the shore. And Jesus got in one that was Simon's in Luke 7. And he told him, he said, "Hey, Simon, launch out in the deep for a drought. Let down your nets for a drought." And I love what Simon said. He done rolled up his nets and put them away. And he said, "Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will let down thy net." Oh my goodness, the Bible said that they didn't even have enough boats to contain. I'm going to tell you, God's got so much waiting on us, it will just go overboard for Him. Hey, a lot of you go overboard in a lot of things, amen? I mean, you do. You got pretty cars and pretty pocketbooks and pretty shoes. And I mean, don't tell me you're not a creature to go overboard. Some of you go overboard, but we go overboard in the wrong things. We ought to be going overboard in the church of Jesus Christ and realize this is the last day and sinners has got to be saved. They went overboard in their familiarities. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could go overboard in your familiarities? Boy, we don't want to leave our comfort zone, do we? You know something, we know what's in the shallows. You can feel what's in the shallows. But what about when you jump out there in the deep end and you can't feel the bottom and you go to treading water? Amen. Does anybody know how to tread water? And you that can't raise your hand, does anybody know how to dog paddle? You got to start somewhere. Honey, you got to get in the water. The water's fine this morning. I mean, you got to start someplace. Hallelujah. You just don't jump over in the deep end and say swim or drown. No, you got to learn to dog paddle a little bit. Amen. It'd do some of you good to go to doing this. Amen. But I tell you this, you got to move these and you got to move these before you're ever going to get out into the deep. Amen. A lot of you sitting around, you saying, "Well, thank God, everything's good. I'm comfortable. What's wrong with you, preacher? I'm going to try to stir this ministry up." Amen. They said, stir the gift. Stir it up. We need stirred. Hey, a fire's not going to burn till it's stirred by the grace of God. Boy, he left his familiarities. I never will forget when God said, "You leave Pepsi-Cola, boy. You go out ministry full time." Boy, Brother Hired, it's hard to leave that cushy job. It's hard to leave that environment. It's hard to leave the things that you've been used to for nearly 25 years. But oh, I'm glad he said, I was sure to say, "Lord, if it be thou bid me to come." He said, "Come on, boy, it's me calling you." And so he went overboard in his familiarity. He went overboard in his friends. He left some friends. Now listen to me. You notice what he done. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Some of you, watch this, buddy. I love this right here. Hallelujah. And if it's a shout just thinking about it. Some of you, it's never going to walk with Jesus till you lose your friends. That's pretty good stuff right there. I think it's pretty good because the Holy Ghost gave it to me this morning. Now, Peter was doing pretty good rubbing shoulders with the saints. And don't get me wrong, the worst spot in here is the best place in town. Somebody say amen right there. But thank God for some folks that want a little something more, and they are ready to lose some friends that they may walk with Jesus. Long as you laying with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. Some of you can't leave the beer alone because you're running with the beer crowd. Some of you can't leave the dope alone because you're running with the dope crowd. Honey, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get you some old-fashioned guts and some old-fashioned glue in your britches and say, I don't know about you, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and you can come over here and you can visit, but you leave your Budweiser at your house. Would somebody send some tapes to somebody ain't here this morning? Oh, you can come over, but leave your booze over where you're at. Amen. Amen. Boys, if I got to run around deer hunting while boys drinking for long, I'd be getting a little nip. You say, you preacher? Yeah, me preacher. Hallelujah. We are who we run with. And thank God for some people that'll go overboard from their friends this morning. They say, now, preacher, don't you get so excited. I heard boys in seminary, now, preacher, ain't no sense in you getting so vocal. And I'm sorry, I just don't have a passive spirit. My wife used to have a passive spirit till she's helped me pastor about 20 years. Now she's getting some of this spirit that's got some boldness in it. Reason some of y'all don't want to ask Miss Preacher something, you know she's going to tell you the truth. Hey, don't ask us something if you want to know what you want to hear, honey. You look in the mirror and ask that question. But if you want to know the truth, just ask Miss Preacher. I don't like truth all the time, Miss Flo. She said, I don't like your short haircut. I said, honey, I ain't got much option. Boy, truth hurts, don't it? I wanted to wear overalls so bad the other night to camp meeting. I called and said, honey, I got me some overalls. Reckon how it'd be if I wear me a shirt. She said, you look silly. I said, honey, I'm going to wear overalls one morning. Preach. She said, that'll be all right, but not tonight. Amen. Boy, I wish she had told me it'd been all right, son. I'd have got them things stretched down. I love overalls. I just love being comfortable. Fella invented a tie, they ought to hang him by it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, you'll never walk with Jesus till you lose that crowd that don't want to walk with Him. And you're not going to go no place till you realize you got to go overboard from some of your friends. A lot of your friends, they're just using you to get out of you what they want from you. And they're going to use you like a little dish rag, throw you to the side when they get out of you what they want. But thank God, honey, Jesus, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And there's nobody like the Lord Jesus this morning. Amen. Can you imagine? I can just imagine Peter when he got to getting that nudge. He said, hey boys, why ain't none of y'all shouting? Boys, how come? What's the deal here? He said, Lord, I'm not real sure about it. But he said, Lord, if it be thou, would you bid me to come to you on the water? And boy, don't he desire a closer walk with him. He said them words that he always says to his young'uns, come. Boy, ain't you glad you can get to him if you really want to get to him? I mean, if you really, really, really want to get to him, honey, you can get to him. But you're going to have to go overboard for some friends before you'll ever walk with Jesus. You're going to have to go overboard from some family before you ever walk with Jesus. A lot of your family, they don't understand a ministry like this. And ain't no sense in you trying to make them explain it and try to reason it with them. Just say, we're going to pray for you, amen, that you'll see the light one of these days. Hallelujah. Could you imagine what you'd done if you'd listened to your family? You wouldn't do nothing for God. When we started this ministry... My dad-in-law, bless his heart, ain't a better man in the country. But he said, son, you're just too young to take on that kind of responsibility. And I was, and I still am. But to God be the glory, honey. Hey, God can do amazing things with little people. And we'll just get out of the way. Thank God, Brother Jared. Failure's not final this morning. If you want a closer walk with Jesus, you can get a closer walk this morning. Some of you never going to walk with Jesus till you lose them friends and that old family. That old family, thank God for family. I love family, but they don't understand you, friend. They don't understand the Holy Ghost. If they in a church where the Holy Ghost is, they don't know what you're talking about. The Holy Ghost go to moving and your preacher don't even preach. They don't understand that. They don't understand that you can spend all of God's money without voting about it. They just ain't been trained right. Somebody holler amen right there. Show me voting in the Bible and I'll eat it this morning. Show me a lot of things going on in the Baptist church and I'll eat a concrete block this morning. Honey, it ain't about Aunt Sally. It ain't about Uncle Susie. I said Uncle Susie. Amen. If you waiting on your family to tell you to leave their little traditional church, you ain't going to leave.
Amen.
Don't be waiting on them to pat you on the head at dinner table and say, I'm glad you went down there at that hollering, snotting preacher. But I tell you one thing, honey, it won't be long. They'll go to see the change in you. They'll go to notice something doesn't happen. They'll notice you done going to church and get excited about going to church. One of the greatest compliments a man's ever paid me. He told me one time, he said, Pastor, he said, you've been able to do something no other preacher's ever done. I said, what's that? He said, get me to church two times in one Sunday. Yeah, man, what you talking about? I'm talking about, honey, don't you be waiting on the family. You'll never go overboard for Jesus. There's nothing like walking with the Lord. Nothing like walking with the Lord. He went overboard in his family. He went overboard in his fear. Y'all notice what he done. Look what he done. Overboard in his fear. Y'all ever caught this in the Bible? Look in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It's I, be not afraid. In verse 26, look what he said. It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. What? Yeah, they said, hear fear. Hear fear. I wonder what happened if they'd have cried out for the Savior instead of cried out for fear. Hey, fear. Come here, fear. I'm feeling a little bit. Come help me, fear. Cried out for fear. Man, I wonder how our walk with Jesus would get better. We said, come here, Savior. Come here, Savior. Come here, Savior. Come here, Jesus. Come here, Jesus. Instead of, come here, fear. Cried out for fear. Wonder how many times we crying out for fear, and we ought to be crying out, oh, God, help me. Oh, he went overboard in spite of his fear. Let me tell you something. Fear is the opposite of faith. And you never going to do nothing scared. You know what the Bible says about this? Watch what he says about fear. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. I won't tell Macy verse number 7. Underline it. I'd say, honey, go out in the car and get something. She'd say, Daddy, it's dark. Some of y'all won't go out with two flashlights. Boy, it's amazing what we hear in the dark, ain't it? Y'all ever notice how darkness calls to you? There ain't nothing there, but boy, it speaks to you. The same yard you walk out in the morning, that cup of coffee and you enjoy, everything about 7:30 is the same yard at 12 o'clock midnight.
but y'all hunting boogers everywhere you go. My dad-in-law, when they got married, they lived down here in Bowden in the city. And Renee's mama said, "Girl, you know, then you slept with the windows up." Yeah. Anybody raised in the country, amen? Amen. And you just went to bed at the screen door, not even latched, amen? Right. But I don't suggest that now. Right. She said, Daryl, wake up. I said, "There's something outside." He said, "Something outside?" She said, "Yeah." He run outside in his pajamas. He's slipping around. He said he heard something say, "Whoo!" And he stopped. He said there was a black Angus calf come running by him. He said, "I like to die when he come by." Look what he said. "For God hath not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Boy, you pray till God gives you the courage. Some of you want to worship so bad, pray and ask Him to remove that spirit of fear. Then He put in you that of a love and courage and a sound mind. Boy, we ought to quit calling out to fear and calling out to the Savior. He went overboard in his fear. Let me ask you, don't you think it was a little scary leaving a job that's stable? Don't you think it's a little scary in giving something more that God's asked you to give and you can't see the end of the month yet? It gets scary, don't it? And boy, what about when the doctor comes in and tells you something? It gets a little... Well, the devil loves to put you in a corner with fear. Look what Jesus said, though. I'm closing. This is what He said. Jesus said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Verse 27, "It is I. Be not afraid." Look in 28. Underline this. Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be Thou." Reckon it could be Him. Reckon it could be Him that's put you right where you are this morning. Reckon it could be Him that's knocking on your heart. Reckon it could be Him that's troubling you. Could it be Him? They went overboard in their fear. And then I want to say, he went overboard in his faith. I love it. The Bible said in verse number 29, "Come," and Peter was come down. You know, a lot of times, boy, we sure do talk, don't we? "I want to be a preacher." Okay. "I want to be a Sunday school teacher." Okay. "I want to sing special." Okay. Where's your faith? Jesus said, "Come." Now what you going to do? He said, "Well, I would like to be saved." Okay. Jesus says, "Come." Where's your faith? We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You remember when the disciples in Luke chapter number 17, Peter asked the question. He said, "Lord, I want to know something." He said, "How many times I got to forgive my brother that's trespassed me?" He said, 7 times in a day. He said, "Lord, now tell me that again." He said, "Yeah." He said, "If he asked you to forgive him, then you forgive him 7 times in a day." Look it up. It's in there. And this is what Peter said. "Lord, increase my faith." He said, "Lord, I'm really want to pop his jaws." "Lord, I'd just love to get a hold of him." I can tell some of you ladies, you'd love to get a hold of him, wouldn't you? "Lord, increase our faith." Now watch what he done. Do you notice what he did? When he come down, he went overboard by faith. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, y'all throw all the rocks you want, but I want to see you try it. I know some of you think you're a princess, but just try walking on the water. I know some of you boys think you Matt Dillon, honey, but just try walking on the water. He walked on the water. That had to have been a sight. Could you imagine? Them boys in the boat, and they went to laugh and say, "Man, what's wrong with this guy? Look what he's got. He's went overboard, but y'all see he's walking on the water." The Bible said, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink." Now, this is what I want to say. He went overboard in his failures. It's okay to sink. Just don't sink too long. Because the Bible said when he began to sink, he cried saying, "Lord, save me." Can I tell y'all something? He did not drown in his trouble. And he would not lay in his trouble. You know my problem? I love laying in my trouble. Y'all come here and let's lay in my trouble. My hips are hurting. My shoulders are hurting. I'm bald-headed. And I'm overweight. My eyes is gone bad. Man, y'all come in here and lay in my trouble. I love Miss Renee. She says, "Get up and move on, crybaby." I mean, I'm just sitting there with, really feeling really good and sorry for myself. I mean, somebody come down there and pet me in my trouble. Somebody come and say, "Preacher, I see you in your trouble, and I love you, preacher. I love you in your trouble, but I ain't getting in there with you, preacher." He would not drown in his trouble. You know what he said? "Lord, save me." Things went to picking up because the Bible said he reached and caught him. Now, can I read something to you? Hey, Brother Dis, I thought about you when I found this last night. You see, the Bible said he reached and caught him. Jesus said, "I've given them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I like it, boy. I love it. He caught him and grabbed him. He said, "Boy, you in my hand, you can't go down. Just remember, I'm the only one to get you out of this mess." You notice them Baptists back there didn't get him out of it. I don't even see them throwing him a life ring. Oh, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister. Now I'm with you all the way till the storm gets up. Thank God some will walk out in the hall, will you? Jesus reached and caught him. See, he went overboard in his failure. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you'd quit telling yourself that you're a failure and that you've gone under and you can't get back up, because that's what the devil's going to tell you. Can you imagine how crazy Peter, the devil, tried to make him think, Brother Howard? That whole crowd seen you walking, now you're sinking. Well, the devil's good at reminding you of your failure, ain't he? But he went overboard in his failure. And did y'all notice what happened now? Because somebody went overboard, what happened to everybody in the ship? The Bible said Jesus got him and come back in the ship, and they worshiped him. Thank God for some men that will go overboard that others may be blessed. Let me tell you, church, I know 300 people. What, I don't know. I would be a foolish man to think everybody in this building would go overboard for Jesus. I know better than that. But thank God for the few that will. Wouldn't it be a blessing to go overboard in playing, praying, praising, preaching? Wouldn't it be a blessing to say, "Lord, I'm not laying here. I'm just getting me some help." And it's amazing to me how that this one Bible character went overboard and it blessed so many people. This morning I want to say, Jesus did rebuke him. And when he caught him, he said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Brother Tim, you could. He said, "Oh, thou of little faith." We better be careful, though, talk about it, because this little faith is
Big faith lets you do big things. What will little faith do, preacher? Well, little faith will let you go overboard. And I want to tell you that the Lord gave me something some few years ago about this. You notice that if you go overboard, if you'll go over, you cannot go under. You can't go under, not going over. Jesus knows our feebleness. Jesus knows our frailty. And little faith will let you go over. And I tell you what little faith will let you do. It'll let you walk on the water. Now, if little faith will let you walk on the water, where would big faith take you this morning? We can say what we want to. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. A lot of you, you've given up on your marriage. You've given up on your loved one that needs to be saved. You've given up on your young'uns. Let me tell you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Boy, I can go back. This ministry will be 16 years old Christmas. Brother Mike, my mind can go back to thinking just what a little faith has done. Just what a big God has done with just a little faith. I wonder this morning, would you go overboard with Jesus? There's nothing like walking with Him. Yeah, there's battles. There's a lot of heartaches. Young people, there's nothing like walking with Jesus. Nothing. Mom and Daddy, it's nothing like walking with Him. You may be here this morning, you need to do just like Peter did. He said, Lord, save me. Young man, would you like to be saved this morning? Young man, do you want Jesus to save you? Then call upon Him. Simply, Lord, save me. You know, when I was studying this, I noticed like, that's exactly what I said the morning God saved me. Right through these woods at Sandy Flat Baptist Church. I got out of that seat. Brother Jerry, I done like what I seen you do. I took that step and this is what I said. Lord, save me. Before my foot hit the floor, God saved me. You know why my heart turned that way? Would you go over this more? I mean, could you think about what the other disciples would have lost if Peter hadn't went overboard? I know, Brother Ken, you know, church is good and church is fine. Let's just have church. Let's not rock the boat. Let's not preach anything out of the ball. Let's don't trouble nobody. Let's don't offend nobody. You ought to thank God there's been some men got overboard for you. Sacrifice some things that you could be blessed. They come in the ship and worshiped Him. What you need this morning, Brother Tim? Stand with us all over the house. Whatever.